Welcome to Common Prayer, episode 55 on Monday, May 25th, which is also Memorial Day. We salute those who have fallen in service of the United States military. Thank you for what you have done, and thank you to the families who have also made sacrifices as well for their service. This week is a special week because we have Brandon Passion, our worship pastor at CPC, hosting our episodes this week. And he is going to take us through the traditions of sacraments, explaining more what they are, what they mean, and perhaps how we participate them in today in building up our faith. So, to start off, he gives an intro and invites us in to investigate our own experience with the sacraments. Welcome to Common Prayer.
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of Common Prayer. My name is Brandon Passion. I'm the worship director here at CPC, and I got to start this little podcast with Kevin, and it's been a really, really cool thing as Savannah and him have been moving this thing forward, and I'm really excited that I get to actually be a little presenter for this week, and I hope you guys are still enjoying it even after 50 episodes. So it's a pretty cool thing in the midst of this crazy crisis that we get to do. You know, I grew up in a Baptist tradition where my dad began his vocation as a minister, and like most faith groups, we had a way of doing things, and those early rituals are kind of, they're carved into my brain. For starters, we sat in pews, we sang from hymnals, and the pastor, he would lead the music by waving his hands. Maybe some of you guys were at churches like this, where he'd wave his hands to the rhythm as if he was conducting the congregation. That was actually my first exposure to a worship leader. And he preached very long messages, from what I remember. And no matter how hot it was, no matter how distracted my eight-year-old brain became, it was very long. And my mom would quiz me and my brother at the end of church to make sure that we were listening, and we failed those quizzes a lot. We also went to church three times a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, where you could dress more casually, which basically meant taking off your tie but still having to comb your hair. And then also on Wednesdays, we would go for kind of more of a Bible study thing. And you know, I make it sound like it wasn't great for me, and I guess there were pieces of it that were kind of a challenge for my younger self. But in reality, it did shape me into who I am today. And the truth is, the reason I really didn't get into it much is because I didn't really understand what we were doing. You know, I didn't really know why we were singing or listening to a guy talk on for hours or why we had to dress up. I just knew that I had to do it. So one weekend I was with my cousins who were Catholic, and I'd never been to a Catholic service, or as they called it, Mass. And they took me that weekend, and I remember feeling so out of place. Like the priest would say or sing something, and I thought I was the only one in the room that didn't know what to say in response to that. And their songbooks were different, and the room looked and smelled different. And the priest had a gown instead of a suit. And man, I felt so odd. When everyone lined up for communion, I ended up staying in my seat. And, you know, I never really questioned things. I definitely had questions, but I didn't allow myself to go there for whatever reason. And as I grew up and matured, my mindset shifted on a lot of things, but that question or lack of questioning, why do we do what we do in church, never really got explored in me. And I sort of just left it there. It wasn't really until much later in my life when I had sort of a spiritual revival that I rediscovered faith and I began exploring why we do what we do. And one of the things I discovered on that journey is that our faith has quite a rich history. It became clear to me that I was far from the first person to walk this road of faith, and to understand where I was going, I was going to need to look back at where we've been. And that's when I discovered what we're going to be talking about this week, which is the sacraments. Now, you may or may not have heard this word before. You know, if you have heard it before, maybe it sends you in a weird direction. Maybe it makes you feel like overly religious. I know for me, you know, it kind of has this high church feel. But I think there's something there that is worth exploring. And that's why we're going to explore it together. We actually get the word sacraments from a Latin word, sacramentum. And it was a word that the Romans used as a name for like their super serious vows or their oaths. So if you were a guy and you wanted to serve in the Imperial Army of Rome, you had to go and swear a sacramentum. Should he default on that promise, his punishment would be in the hands of the gods. So how they put it was sacramentum was an outward sign of an inward promise. And in that case, it was to the promise of Rome. And they would allow people certain privileges, like serving in the army or access to certain documents, if you had sworn the sacramentum. And the Christians at the time knew about this, and so they borrowed the term for their own vows. Here's how the Book of Common Prayer puts it in a Christian way, and I love this. The sacraments are an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace given unto us, ordained by Christ himself as a means whereby we receive the same and as a pledge to assure us thereof. Most of us have private faith practices, like we pray, we read the Bible, we listen to Common Prayer podcasts. And, you know, if you're involved in a church community, which if you're listening to this, you most likely are involved in our church community, you engage in communal practices all the time. Communal practices like baptism, marriage, communion. Different church traditions emphasize different practices. Any of you that have been around any different denominations, you know this. But traditionally, the church has deemed seven practices as the sacraments: baptism, Holy Communion, matrimony, anointing the sick, penance, holy orders, and confirmation. So that's kind of like, you know, what traditionally they would say are the seven practices. And like I said, you're all over the board on what churches practice what, and how diligently they practice those. Some faith traditions think that, you know, something even more than just a sign of our devotion is happening there when we practice those sacraments. So it's kind of all over the board, but the point isn't to force you into some sort of ritualistic faith. The point is more to expose you, or in some cases re-expose you, to some of the rich traditions that our faith began with. In fact, it goes back way, way further than Rome. Jesus himself was baptized. We know this, right? Jesus talked about and endorsed marriage. And, you know, some say that he was even confirmed in a way as he went to the temple and he discussed theology with the priest there. So this goes back as far as Jesus, who is really the beginning of our Christian faith. And so that's where we're going to go this week. And I hope you guys are coming into this with an open mind with me as we discover if there's gold to be taken out of some of these sacraments. We're not going to have time to go through all of them, but we are going to hit some of the main ones. And as we do that, I really hope that you will continue to keep yourself open and that you'll ask yourself, what does God have for me in this process? What does God want to show me that maybe I haven't been able to see before, or something that I have not questioned? And I'd really want to encourage you, as someone who kind of helps design our church's liturgy every single Sunday, that you would continue to ask yourselves those questions that I didn't ask when I was a kid, which is, why are we doing this? What is this really accomplishing? What are we doing this for? What does it mean? You know, when we're dedicating a child on Sunday morning, or when we're baptizing somebody, what is actually happening there? When we're taking communion, you know, we're taking communion at home now together, which is weird, but we're doing that. When we take that together, what's really going on here? And I think that you're going to find out that what you're doing when you join in on these sacraments, these traditions of our faith, you're joining not just the people that you're currently doing with, but you're joining like 2,000 years of people who are surrendering their lives over to God. 2,000 years of people who have sworn a sort of sacramentum to a God who loves us eternally, to a God who came down on earth to sacrifice everything. So I want to begin our meditation. I want to ask that you get comfortable, that you take a few deep breaths. breathing in, breathing out, and just acknowledging that even that air comes from God. Your ability to breathe in and breathe out comes from the eternal Creator. Allow yourself to let the busyness fade away. Whatever your task list might be today, I'm going to ask for you to let that go and allow God to do His work. Open your mind instead to what He has for you today. Is there anything that you've been missing? Is there anything that you've been moving too fast to notice? The Bible says that God speaks in a still, small whisper. So quiet your soul and allow yourself to hear the whisper of the Holy Spirit. Most of us have a moment that we can point to when we remember that we decided that we were going to follow after Jesus. For me, I remember it was fourth grade, a preacher at camp talking about how Jesus died for our sins, and I remember imagining my own father dying for my sins and was just completely overwhelmed. And as I worked through and talked through that with the preacher after the message, I remember thinking, this is a God worth following. This is someone I want to give my life to. I'm going to ask you to think about that. And what is that moment for you? Maybe it was a long time ago. Maybe it was recent. But I'm going to ask you to bring that to mind. I want you to reconnect with that moment that you decided you were going to follow. As you bring that picture to mind, I want you to consider this. Whenever that was, in the last few years, in the last 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 years, the same God that got a hold of you, the same God that sent His Spirit down on earth, was working 2,000 years ago. And He's been doing this in His beloved creation for that long. It doesn't take away from how special you are, but it does add to the story that you're not alone in this, that you're part of something bigger, that you're part of a movement. And I want you to ask yourself if there's any way that you have been holding back from God. Are there some questions that maybe you're afraid to ask? Are there things about your faith that you've just allowed yourself to go through the motions? Ask Him to bring those things to mind. Let those things come to your mind and offer those questions to God. Offer your assumptions. Offer the things that have been off limits to Him. Father, we pray that You would open our hearts and our minds to know more about You. God, that we could learn from what has come before us, the good and the bad, but Lord, that You would show us how You created us. You would show us how You made us to draw near to You. God, would You give us the rhythms in our lives to keep us close to You? And before we close, I just want to read this from the Book of Common Prayer one more time. That this vow that we're considering, these sacraments, they're an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace given to us. ordained by Christ himself, as a means whereby we receive the same, and as a pledge to assure us thereof.
Thank you for listening to Common Prayer today. Common Prayer is a ministry hosted by Central Peninsula Church in Foster City, California. Today's episode was hosted by Brandon Passion, our worship pastor, with original music by him as well. Check back on our website daily for more episodes, and thanks again for listening.